Use your power to satisfy your need. Turn something that ain't into something you want. Y'all quiet now, because some of y'all sitting by a stone. Some of y'all, you knew that wasn't bread when you married it. You knew there wasn't no bread, but you said, I'm going to turn it into bread. You can't turn no stone into bread. You can't turn stones into bread. Jesus said, you will not tempt me to see stones as bread. Are you tempted to see stones as bread? For the record, stones are hard. Bread is soft. Have you married something hard trying to make it soft? Because that is the temptation that comes on you after the fast. After you have spent yourself, you can't trust yourself not to see stones as bread. He says, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he takes him up to a high place. And when he goes up to a high place, he says to him, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, I was at the high place. It's Mount Nebo. It's the same high place that Moses went to see the promised land he couldn't go to. Mount Nebo is high enough that you can see for miles and miles. You can see Jordan and Jerusalem. Oh, you can see Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. From Mount Nebo, you can see a lot of land, but you can't see all the kingdoms. So he took him to a high place and showed him beyond sight lines what he would give him. He showed him Jerusalem, the city that Moses was happy just to see. I may not get there with you, but I got to see it. He knew what Jesus wanted before he showed it to him. Because Satan will never tempt you with something you don't like. Quick story. I was going through a test, and this woman was calling us all time the night early, a long time ago. Years in our marriage, you know the story, so don't tighten up. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, she said I was gonna die, her husband was gonna die, and we was gonna get married. All our children was gonna die. She'd kill all y'all. All our children was gonna die. And we were gonna get married. And it was aggravating, it was nerve-wracking. And I called a spiritual mentor and I said, What do you think about this? She said, are you attracted to this woman? I said, no. And not at all. Do you want this woman? Absolutely not. She said to me, don't you think that if the devil was gonna tempt you, he would tempt you with the woman you wanted? So then she asked me, what do you feel when she calls? I said, rage. She said, that's the temptation. So the next time she calls, I want you to resist rage and worship. I'm just telling this to help somebody. So instead of getting rage and tossing threats at each other and threatening to run over her with the car and stuff like that, because I was growing in the Lord. I was growing. I wasn't there yet. Don't judge me. So when she called again, I said, oh, I bless you, Lord. I bless you. I bless your holy name. There's nobody like you, Lord. You're holy in the earth. I give you glory and I give you honor and I give you praise and I lift you up. And she started screaming. You might be fighting the right devil with the wrong weapon. Jesus is at the end of his fast, and the enemy is now tempting him with the pride of life. And by the way, you are offering Jesus what's already his. Because the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And how you gonna offer the bread to the bread when he is the bread of life? How you, the enemy is always offering you stuff you already got. Counting on you not knowing it to need it. And Jesus has been living life. And let me tell you what living life is. Living life is like going to Six Flags. It's up and it's down. You laughing and you crying. You screaming and you threatening the man, let me off, I want off this thing. That's what I do. I threaten him, I said, let me off. I don't care that it's the middle of the ride, let me off. If you don't want me to throw up on you, you better let me off because I'm in. You don't get to get out of it because the ride gets rough. Jesus' first lesson to us is to teach us that one moment you're being affirmed by man and God, and the next moment you're in the wilderness in the fast of your life, and that's normal. One moment you're talking to your father, and the next moment you're fighting with your devil, and that's normal. One moment you're reconciling with your friend, and the next moment you are by yourself. That's life. That's normal. Jesus exemplifies faith in transition. You keep waiting for faith to stop the movement. You gotta have faith in the movement. Life is gonna do what life is gonna do. And it doesn't mean that you don't have faith, and it doesn't mean that God is judging you. Just because you're in a wilderness, by the way, a wilderness is a dry place. Very few things grow there. A wilderness is a place of isolation. A wilderness is a place of unpredictable temperatures. It is hotter than fire during the day. It is ice cold at night. You can't dress for it. You can't prepare for it. You have to survive it. Some of you are in a wilderness. You're living in a city, but you're in a wilderness. You got a nice condo, but you're in a wilderness. You got two kids and a dog, but you're in the wilderness. You are in a wilderness right now because nothing is growing and nothing is moving and it is dry and you are alone and you are wondering, where is the God who opened up the heavens last month now that I'm in the wilderness? And that's why I had to preach this message. Because we only see God in the magnificent. We don't see God in the mundane. But God reveals himself in the mundane wilderness places of your life. Anybody need this? You can see God when the choir is singing and everybody's shouting. You can see God real good. But you can't see God when you're driving home from a job you lost. You can't see God when the doctor says there's a lump in your breast. You can't see God when the principal says we're putting your child out of school and you ain't got no place to put him. You needed him to go to school because it was good for him, but it was good for you too. And now you got this crumb snatcher at home, not doing nothing, nobody to take care of him, and his actions have made your life complicated. Talk to me, somebody. Have you ever had somebody's life make your life complicated? And you're trying to figure out what you're going to do because where is God in my wilderness? And by the way, the fast is over. So why am I under attack now? You bring me up here and show me all the kingdoms, the lust of the eye. That you will give me if I just bow to you. But it is written, that I shall only serve the Lord my God, and I will have no other gods before me. So though I'm hungry, and though I'm weak, and though I will weep over Jerusalem, I will not bow for Jerusalem. Watch this. And so the Bible says that as Jesus experienced in the wilderness, continued being weak from the fast, but not falling, he is now against the rocks. Now everybody will understand that phrase, against the rocks. But Jesus is now against the rocks. I'm against the rocks. I can't walk no further. I can't talk no further. I can't pray no louder. And one writer says that Jesus is up against the rocks, watch this, in the presence of beasts. So the beasts are waiting on him to die. Because we see him as Savior, but the beasts see him as dinner. See, you got to understand that you see yourself as a person, but many people see you as an opportunity. And they're just waiting to catch you against the rocks. So Jesus is against the rocks, and the wild beasts are just waiting on him to pass out. And then the Bible says that the angels came and ministered unto him. The angels didn't say nothing when he was on the mountain. The angels didn't say nothing while he was fasting. The angels didn't say nothing while he was tempted. But when the beast got ready to devour him, the reason I like this text is I know what it is to be against the rocks and know that the beasts are waiting on me and they see me like dinner. I know what it's like to see the glare, the red glare of the eyes of the enemy saying, I got you where I want you and I am going to take you out. I know what it's like to come at the most inconvenient time when I'm at my tiredest and I'm at my weakest and I'm hungry and I've been fasting. I know what it's like for the enemy to come at the most vulnerable moment in your life and say, I'm coming in to kill. But I also know what it's like for the angels to come in and rescue me out of stuff. I know what it's like that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I know what it's like for God to show up in the moment of your calamity. For the Bible said that the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And I want to tell you right now, your angels are on the way. I know you're tired. I know you've been up against the rocks. I know it's been harder than it should have been. I know you're out of food and you're out of strength and you're out of friends and you're out of fellowship. And I know your life looks schizophrenic, that it's the best of times and the worst of times. But your angels are on the way. And if you get this out of the message, you got the whole message. God is not going to see his children up against the rocks and not rescue them. We have a God that will send angels coming at you in every direction. And in case you don't believe it, let me get some witnesses. The reason the car wreck didn't kill you is because the angels covered you. The reason you got by with stuff that other people drowned in is because the angels covered you. Let me go a little bit higher. The reason you got the job, whether your degree, There were people that had more credentials, but they didn't have more favor. That when God gets ready to minister to you, God will minister to you. And the reason you are here right now is because the angels are in your wilderness. I can't get you out the wilderness, but I can't get your angels out either. I want you to know that you can learn whatever state you're in to still be content, whether I'm in the Jordan, whether I'm on the mountain, whether I'm in the wilderness. The one consistent thing is that the angels are always there. You don't seem to understand what I'm saying, but the angels are wrapping all around you right now. I'm glad if you want to wear a mask. I'm glad if you got on PPP. I'm glad if you got on special clothes. I don't care what you got on. Your greatest force field is that the angels of the Lord encamp around you. And I don't want to insult you, but the reason you haven't lost your mind is not because you didn't have trauma, but when your mind was coming unglued, the angels of the Lord encamped round about you. And when your enemy was glaring at you and seeking your position, it was the angel of the Lord that went in the boardroom and got your job back. And if there's anybody in here that ought to give God the praise, is people that's got angels in their wilderness.